Blog Talk Radio.
Shout Talk Live, where professional stylists, barbers, makeup artists, and nail techs give you the 411 on the good, the bad, and the ugly of everything you want to know about natural hair, hair weaving, makeup, nails, education, products, and more. Real talk. It's what you've been waiting for. Shop Talk Live. Good, bad, the ugly.
Good morning, everybody. Today I have a special, special guest that went from prison to a $20 million school, salon, cosmetology school owner. Let me welcome Million Dollar Barber, Chin. Hey, Chin, how are you, hon?
I'm doing great.
Okay, we're going to talk about how you came out of prison and opened your own school. But first, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from?
Born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. Grew up in a Christian loving home. My mom was a school teacher. My stepdad, he was a Baptist minister. I went to college senior year. Of course, I went to federal prison, cocaine conspiracy, and got one brother, one sister.
Okay, can you share a little bit about your prison story?
Of course, yeah. I was a barber, and I used to cut this guy's hair while I was in college. His girlfriend was in my class at Tennessee State University, and he would come to town every now and then, and she would ask me to cut his hair. So I started cutting his hair, and then one day he asked me if I knew anybody that dealt cocaine. And I said, yeah, you know, because most of my friends did that, but I wasn't doing it because I grew up in the hood. And he said, well, can you ask how much they paying for a kilo of cocaine, a key? I said, well, yeah, I asked two of my friends that I grew up with, and they told me they was paying, I think, $28,000, $29,000. And he told me, he said, okay, he said, well, you want to make some money? I said, what do I got to do? He said, well, they're paying $28,000, $29,000, I'll give it to you for $17,000. And, I mean, I know math. I did the numbers in my head. I'm thinking, oh, I can make, you know, $12,000, you know, $11,000. Okay. So, he gave me two keys, and I just took it to my friend's house, and he gave me the money, you know, for the two keys, $56,000. And, of course, I had to give Carlos Francisco Bendita Nico back $34,000. So, you know, I made $22,000. That quick. And then afterwards, long story short, he started bringing in loads of cocaine. I took over the city. I wasn't touching the cocaine at that time because I was in college taking $18 a semester and plus running my shop or whatever. So that went on for quite some time. And then my senior year in college, when I was about ready to graduate, a load of cocaine came, over $1 million worth. That was back in, 1993, a long time ago, October the 12th, 1993. And that's when, you know, they got the $1 million for cocaine. They got the drivers, the people who with it. Of course, I was in class taking my midterm exam when they got busted.
So you went to prison. How much time did you get? How much time?
I got 36 months, but it was only, the case lasted for 2 years, and I didn't get caught with anything. I was in college on the dean's list, taking 18 hours every semester. Of course, I was running my business, and I didn't look like a drug dealer. The guys that worked for me, you know, they had the gold teeth, the braids. They talked like thugs, looked like thugs. And we went to federal court, you know, for 2 years. They didn't have anything on me. And it was an all-white courtroom with these black people in there, us, and they kept pointing the finger at me saying it was those, that load of cocaine was mine, all them kilos, and I'm saying, no, it's not. Did I sell drugs? Yes, I did, but I'm not the person that y'all are trying to portray me. So the guy that could have put me under, he got caught with two more keys while we was out on bond. And when we went to court, you know, I was brought up in the church. Yes, sir, no, sir, yes, Your Honor, no, Your Honor. The guys who got caught all the cocaine, they was in there with their pants sagging, saying, yeah, no, being disrespectful. So I just believe, one, it was God, and I believe that those Caucasian people in the courtroom started believing, this little bitty schoolboy, there's no way he could have ran this million-dollar cocaine operation and went to college and been on the dean's list and took 18 hours every semester and led it home with his mama. There's no way he could do that. So I think that's why, you know, I got a short amount of time. I did have to snitch. Of course, people say, well, he was a snitch or whatever. No, I had the whole city of Nashville on lockdown. I was supplying the whole city, and I could have brought the whole city down if that was the case. So all the OGs and people back then, they knew, you know, Chin and snitch because none of them went to prison.
Right. So you, when you were in prison, you cut hair for 3 cents an hour? I mean, how was that?
3 cents an hour. I mean, it was 3 cents an hour, and then sometimes I got sodas and snacks at the other place, the other prison I was at.
So it was in trade, basically. So when you got out of prison, did you go straight back into a barbershop or a shop when you left prison?
Yeah, when I got out of prison, of course, you know, in federal, you got to go to the halfway house. So I had a 28-hour bus ride home from Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, to Nashville, Tennessee. My mom picked me up at the bus station, and then, of course, I had to report to the federal halfway house. You got to get a job. Of course, nobody would hire me because of my record, but I started back cutting hair, doing manicures, pedicures, everything that I knew. I was doing that at the halfway house. Then I wanted to enroll back in college, but they didn't want to let me. And so I went over their head to the federal people because there was no law saying that I couldn't go back and finish college. So I did that and then got a job working in the salon cutting hair.
Okay, so it was a full-service salon. It wasn't a barbershop.
No, it was a beauty salon on campus at Tennessee State University. And so I was in school, and I would pass that salon every day. And they kept telling me I need to get a job, the people at the halfway house. But I was going looking for jobs every day, going to all the fast food places, just everywhere. Probably went to 100 different places, and they kept turning me down. And so the people at the federal halfway house, it was mandatory that you get a job. So about three, they had told me, if you don't have a job by this date, you know you're going to have to go back to prison because they had restitution fees and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, I got to get a job. I'm looking for a job. No one will hire me. Just because I can't get a job, y'all will send me back to prison. So now I'm thinking about, well, darn, I need to just sell cocaine again. You know, it's darn if you do, darn if you don't. So, you know, I grew up in the church, and I'm praying to God, you know, saying, God, you know, I'm on the right track. I'm doing everything, and I just trusted in God. 3 days before he was going to send me back, I got that job in that salon. And I just told the lady, it was an old black lady that owned it, Miss Hattie Burns. I said, ma'am, I just got out of prison. I used to sell cocaine. I don't do that anymore. I'm back in the church. And I said, I need a job. I said, they're going to send me back to prison in 3 days. And she looked at me, and she said, you don't look like you sold cocaine, boy. You don't look like you've been to prison. Your hair's cut nice and neat. You respectful, saying, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and your pants is pulled up with a belt on. The shirt tucked in. I'm going to give you that job. And that's how I got the job.
So how long did you work there?
I worked there for a year because I went to prison my senior year in college. So I had to withdraw and get incomplete. So when I got out of prison, I needed 42 hours to graduate. So what I did, I took 18 hours a semester and 6 hours that summer and got the 42 hours. Because my mom was an educator, she wanted me to finish college, and I didn't want to finish college because I knew I wasn't going to work for nobody. I knew wasn't nobody going to give me no job. But while I was in prison, I promised her that the first thing I would do was finish my college degree in a year and give her that. And so I went back and did that for my mom, and I worked at the beauty salon in the daytime, and I went to school at night. And then when I graduated, that's when I opened up my own business. I opened up a little beeper shop because when I was at the halfway house, I was shopping at Goodwill, riding a MARTA bus, and I cut off all the women, all that crap, wasn't doing nothing. And all the money I was making, I was just saving it. I would give it to my mama to save. So I didn't go out to eat. You know, I ate sack lunches for a whole year, oatmeal and all that. So this Chinese man told me, if you live like your friends won't live for a couple of years, you'll live like they can't live the rest of your life. So I sacrificed and saved the money. Then I opened up a little beeper place. That was in 1996, I think, or 97. And then,
Of
course,
that was beeper time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then 98 is when I opened the school.
Okay, we're going to get into that too. But tell us about, well, we spoke earlier about, I didn't know about the Millionaire Ex-Convict book. When did you write that?
So,
when did you wrote that in prison?
Well, I didn't write it in prison. What happened, in 2000, I was in Ebony Magazine. Halle Berry was on the front cover, and they had me as a feature in the book, in the magazine. And they, it was people who had, like, gone to prison and overcame obstacles and became successful. So it had ex-convict, now millionaire. This was in 2000, and it had the full article of me. And what happened, all these people started writing it. It was probably about 5,000 or 6,000 people that was writing them saying, well, what did he do when he got out of prison? Well, how did he overcome? Because literally almost every black person or whatever got somebody in prison. But for me to get out and do what I did, I guess they thought that was something extraordinary or great or whatever. I don't know. And so Ebony sent all the letters to my mama's house back in 2000 after the article, you know, the magazine went out. And so I'm reading them, and I read a couple of them, and I just put them down because they were being nosy. They just kept asking the same question. How did he do it? What did he do? What did he not do? And but people were saying my daddy's in prison, my son, my mom, my uncle. And so I said, you know what? I just need to tell these people exactly what I did. I mean, it was no secret or nothing great that I thought. So the next week, T.D. Jakes called the school and said, I want to fly you to Manpower, and I want you to speak to these 20,000 men. And I said, well, I can't go because I'm on federal parole. I can't even leave the city. Well, they'll lock me up. He said, okay, well, ask your probation officer if you can come. And I said, all right. So I'm hoping and praying that my probation officer would say no because I'm an introvert. And I didn't want to talk to no 20,000 people and tell them all my business. And so because I was already embarrassed, you know, from embarrassing my family and all of that. And so I went to my PO knowing he's going to say no, and shoot. He said, yeah, I'm going to give you a two-day furlough pass. So I'm thinking, dang, I got to tell, you know, Bishop Jake. So I told him, I said, well, they're going to give me a two-day furlough. So they, you know, flew me down and all that stuff. But before that, them 5,000 or 6,000 letters that they had sent Ebony, they sent them to my mama's house. My friend made a post and put a fake book cover on the postcard and had the Ebony article on the side, too. And it said the book will be out in 4 to 6 weeks or whatever, sent $15 for $3.50 shipping and handling. Well, we sent that to all of those people that wrote those letters. Well, it was like 3,000 and something people that sent $18.50. Because back then, you know, we didn't have the internet. So I had like $57,000 in cash, money orders, and checks just sitting. So that's what, you know, Bishop Jakes called. Then, so when I went down, I was reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki book. It was in 2000. My friend made a fake book cover. We scotch taped it on the front of that book. So when I got up there to talk to them 20,000 men, because I'd already asked Mr. Jakes, well, I ain't no preacher. What do you want me to say? You just need to tell your story. And I said, oh, okay, that's easy. You know, because it's my story. So I got up there. He prayed for me, laid hands on me. I had my book, the Ebony article, the camera zoomed in on it, told my story. You know, Bishop Jake said, how many of y'all been locked up in prison? How many of y'all got family members locked up in prison? And the whole dome, 20,000 people stood up. But the preachers bum-rushed me because, you know, preachers started getting money. Back my dad was a preacher that was broke. So they buying 100 books, 200 books, pre-ordering. I had pre-sold over $110,000 worth of books. So I came home. I ain't had no book. I ain't know how to write no book, never wrote no book. And I told my mama what I had done, and she don't cut. But she said, mm-hmm. she and your ASS is going back to prison. I said, I know. I said, how am I going to write this book? She said, I don't know, but you better figure it out. So I went through the Yellow Pages because it's 2000.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking through uh-huh. the Yellow Pages trying to find somebody to write this book for me. Nobody would do it, you know, because I wasn't nobody. So the preachers, and they start calling the school. And I'm telling my secretary, tell him I ain't here. I'm running from him. And uh-huh. Bishop Jenkins, you know, he already said, well, I'm going to help you, this and that. So I'm getting scared. A month had passed, and I just said, you know, blanket. I used a cuss word. I'm going to write this yeah. book myself because I took typing. Because the ninth grade, all the pretty women was in typing. So me and my partner, Leon, we signed up for typing just to get in there with all the pretty women. Well, we became the best typists in there because we didn't cut class or nothing because all them pretty women was there. We wanted to stay in there. And so I learned how to type real good. So I knew how to type. And I wrote reports in college, but I didn't wrote no book. So, heck, I went and got this dude book who sold Heron, and he had three brothers and two sisters. I had one brother and one sister. He dedicated his book to his mom. I dedicated mine. So I told the story how I got the cocaine here under the secret compartment. I told that whole, all of that. To lure the people in, because I knew the young dudes or the street people, if I got to talk about the kilos of cocaine and quarter kilo, a half a kilo, 252 grams, 9 ounces, a quarter kilo, 8 ball, 3.5, 16, you know, a gram and a half, a quarter ounce, you know, 7 grams. If I talk about all that, I could lure them in, and then I did a bait and switch on them. Then I started talking about God and, you know, using your gifts and talents and all of that stuff. So finish that book in a week. Because I locked myself in the room and just started typing. Finished it. I sent it to some printing company in Florida, Naples, Florida. And I was so stupid, I didn't do a spell check. And so my 6 weeks was up. And they said, well, we're going to send you one copy you got to read. I said, no, I need y'all to send me all 5,000 copies. They said, no, we can't do that. I said, put the owner or whoever on the phone. And so he got on the phone and said, are you crazy? What I said, no, I need my books right now. I done paid y'all the $15,000, you know, $3 a copy times $5,000, $15,000. He said, well, I'm going to fax you this document. You sign off. And if anything's wrong with the book, we ain't nothing we can do. I said, okay. So he faxed it. I signed it. They sent them 5,000 copies. And, I mean, it was only $3 a copy. I sold them for $15. So I made a lick off of that. I'm thinking, dang. And so, and I sent one to all the prisons, to the chaplains. So now all the guys in prison and everybody is buying this book. So it's like, darn, this is the dude that got out of prison and he became a millionaire legally. You know, how did he do it? Because we're talking about 2000, 23 years ago, you know. So that book took off and I just started, you know, going everywhere speaking. And then I got tired of speaking because I was saying the same story. I just had one sermon. And so I said, I know what. I told my secretary, I said, I ain't speaking no more because I'm tired of this. You know, everywhere I go, they laugh at the speech, and they laugh and they cry. Those are the two things they did. I said, I'm just going to charge these people. That way they don't want me to come because I'm tired of going to these churches and stuff. They start paying me. I was just playing with my secretary. And I said, the next person to call, tell them $10,000. This is back in 2000. And I'm thinking, oh, hell, God, you know, I didn't even mean it. I said, tell them $10,000. And shoot, them people said,
they said okay. No.
Yes. So I started, yes. And so, but I didn't know that Les Brown and all these other people was getting like $100,000. And some people was getting $200,000. I didn't know that. So.
But Jen,
you know, and then I went
you
to,
made up that
what?
You made up everything. How you get to do this? How, you just made that up.
Made what
you,
up?
You made up the cover, and now you got into this where you had to produce the book. I mean, you typed
everything.
I had everything?
To produce it because you said what?
I said you typed everything. You did all the typing.
Of course. I knew how to type. I was in the classroom with pretty women that look like you. I became a great typist.
Okay, but...
It wasn't hard for me to type that book.
But it was a little more to that. I mean, okay. I could type, too.
I told you I
got
a, I got a, I told you I got somebody who had wrote a book, and I used their book as a guide. When they talked about how they sold heroin, I talked about how I sold cocaine. When they talked about how they went to the strip joint, I talked about my story to the strip joint. When they talked about how they got busted, I talked about how I got busted. When they talked about their prison experience, Lord, I talked about mine. Does that make sense?
It's amazing. That's amazing. That's smart.
Yeah, anybody can tell their story.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. If you can do that, yes, anybody can do it. Dang.
Yeah.
That's amazing, Ken. I got to give it to you. And that's the one, that's the millionaire ex-convict book.
Mm-hmm. I wrote that book 23 years ago. It took me a week to write that book. I made millions of dollars off that book. I still make money off that book. That's crazy.
So where can you get that book? Is it on Amazon?
Mm-mm. They can go to millionairebarber.com, it's on there. I don't even market that book anymore.
Yeah, because you're a millionaire. Anyway.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, we're going to, a lot of people, I'm sure, are waiting to hear about your inspiration to open the school and how you did it, the process and everything. So we will come back after this little message, okay?
Okay.
What are you drinking? Introducing a choice that's just as unique as you are. Still and sparkling water by Royalty Spring Water. In a world of choices, some things remain refreshingly simple. At Royalty Spring Water, every drop is a reminder that you deserve the best. So, what are you drinking? Order yours today at www.royaltyspringwater.com.
Shout Talk Live, where professional stylists, barbers, makeup artists, and nail techs give you the 411 on the good, the bad, and the ugly of everything you want to know about natural hair, hair weaving, makeup, nails, education, products, and more. Real talk. It's what you've been waiting for. Shop Talk Live. Good, bad, the ugly.
Okay, we're back with the Million Dollar Barber, Chen. Chen, I'm still on that that writing of the book, but anyway, can you tell us how or who inspired you to open up your own school?
Well, actually, when I was in prison cutting hair, I was thinking, who makes the most money in the beauty industry? And it was the school owners. And even when I went to, you know, school, every beauty professional, when they go to school, they already know you got to do hair all day long. You don't get paid. The school owner makes all the money. You got to pay the school owner. They make the money from that. Then they got the vending machines. They make money from that. They get the kits and books wholesale. They retail them to you. They make money from that. They do advanced classes. They make money from that. So we all know that school owners make a lot of money. So even when I was in school at 17, the seed was planted then. I'm thinking, well, darn, I'm going to get me a school one day. I mean, the day before Easter, I cut probably 20 or 30 heads and didn't get paid.
Mm.
And it was 20 or 30 other students in there that did the same thing. So I knew the school owner made a lot of money. But when I was in prison, you know, I'm thinking, I said, well, I'm going to get a school because I didn't want to work behind a chair because, heck, I was young then, and I'm doing all these heads, getting paid 3 cents an hour. I'm thinking, well, I ain't going to do this when I get out. Even if they can repay me $10 or $20, I don't want to do this the rest of my life because it's not going to be enough money. I can't retire my mom. My sister went to prison because of me, so I won't be able to take care of her just being a barber, stylist, nail tech, esthetician. Nothing against them, but I knew that was not going to create financial freedom or time freedom. I felt like I was going to still be in prison, be chained or slave behind the chair. But I knew with the schools, that was a way to get rich. And Madam, I did a lot of reading. Madam C.J. Walker, you know, she opened her school back in 1908, 15 years ago. She was the first black millionaire. But what did she have? She had a school and she had products. And then when I read Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, Alonzo F. Herndon was the richest black man, you know, in the United States. And that man was born a slave in Georgia, and he used to sell peanuts and molasses. But most of all, Alonzo cut hair, and he opened up at barbershop in 1903 or 1904 in Atlanta on Peachtree. Mm-hmm. And it was a 24-chair barbershop with gold and crystal chandeliers and marble floors. This was a black man that did that. So that let me know I could do this school. Hell, if they did that 100-some years ago with slavery, racism, and all of that, it just lit a fire in me, because I just need to see somebody that looked like me that did mm-hmm. something like that. And so I always thought big. I mean, even when I sold cocaine, I didn't sell 8 balls or 16ths or ounces. I sold kilos of cocaine. So whatever mm-hmm. I was going to do, I'm going to do it big. So if I'm going to do this beauty stuff, I ain't going to be no little practitioner. I'm going to get me a school. Now, I don't know how I'm going to do it. It's our job to think it, believe it, and speak it. It's God's job to make it happen. And so I knew I was going to do that school. When I came home, I wrote it down. I'm enjoying having my own school. I showed my mama the manuscript. I'm enjoying being a meanie. I'm enjoying retiring my mom. I'm enjoying buying our mansion. I'm enjoying having the means in real estate. And my mom and family members saw that. And they thought mm-hmm. I'd been institutionalized. They thought I was crazy. They said, Chin is crazy. Actually, they were saying, this ninja's crazy. He's been wrote all these affirmations down or whatever. But it was God's job to make it happen. Doesn't matter if you didn't have the money, the resources, and all that. So mm-hmm. with the school, then all the dream killers came out. The dream killers, the ninjas. You can't do no school. You got to have all this money, all this paperwork. You ain't smart enough. Dude, you're a convicted cocaine dealer. You're a convicted felon. You're on federal parole for the next 5 years. And ninjas, you talking, you're going to open up a school. How are you going to do that? You're a black man. How are you going to open up a school? You don't even have the experience. You can't even cut hair that good. You ain't never taught at a school or nothing. How are you going to open up a school? So a lot of times we let people talk us out of our dreams. God is giving you this, but you'll let a fool talk you out of your dream. And I didn't listen to them fools tell me that, because they were just trying to deter me. And even other mm-hmm. school owners who were making millions of dollars were telling me, you can't do that. You don't need to do that against that. Well, heck, why are you telling me? You just don't want me to get a school so I can get rich like you and put you out of business. So I didn't listen to them. I listened to God. That's who I listened to. Mm-hmm. Didn't listen to the naysayers. And when you have that dream, God will put the person in your life that can help you get there. Now, it's up to you to take that step and have faith. And so I walk by spiritual eyes. I don't walk by physical eyes. And I know what God told me. And he put Miss Velma, this Caucasian lady in my life, who was doing over $1 million a month back in the day, had all these schools, mm-hmm. 99% black women. This is a Caucasian woman training all these students. And she had a program to teach you how to open a school, become accredited, and get government funding. And at 26 years old, after working mm-hmm. in that shop, saving my money, I opened my school. I found a raggedy building in the hood. She said, well, look at the rules and regulations. Hell, it only mm-hmm. said that I needed X amount of chairs, X amount of square feet. That was like a big old shop. And then mm-hmm. I said, well, but Ms. Bremer, they told me I can't get accredited because I'm a convicted felon. Cocaine, conspiracy to distribute mm-hmm. cocaine, trafficking, aiding and abetting, gun charges. You know, those charges were all mm-hmm. stuff the other people got charged with. She said, Chin, you got to look at your rules and regulations. And y'all got to watch who you get your information from. This is a multi-million-dollar lady, mansion, making all this money. That's who I listened to. I didn't listen to these fools out here. And I said, okay. She said, the only way you can't get government money is if you went to prison, federal prison, for embezzlement or money laundering. That was the law. Well, I didn't go for that. I went for cocaine. So there was no law stating you can't open up a school, get accredited, and get government funding if you was a convicted cocaine dealer. It was if you went for money laundering or embezzlement. That didn't count on me. So long story short, I found a little raggedy building in the hood after being turned down 50 or 60 times because people would check my record. Yep, I had bad credit, no credit because I just got out of federal prison, and I'm on federal mm-hmm. parole. So who going to rent to me? Ain't nobody going to lease no building to me. No means mm-hmm. not right now. Kept getting turned down. So what? I kept trying. Kept on. Finally, this old man in the hood had a raggedy shopping center. He leased the building to me, paid the first and last month's rent, and got my little equipment from Buy Right in Atlanta. They gave me a payment plan, Richard, like a couple thousand dollars, paying $400 a month. Got a couple of crackheads and drunks in the neighborhood, the new carpentry, plumbing, electric, and all that. I paid them by the day because you can't pay them up front because you'll never see them again. So I did that. Then as far as my little classroom, you needed 15 desks and chairs. That was the state board rules here. Went to a little salvage place and got them for like $3 each. Then the lady said, what are you doing? I said, I'm opening the school. Oh, baby, just take them old chairs up out of here. So now I got my school. Well, how am I going to teach, Ms. Velma? Well, Chin, you can read and follow instructions. The My Lady's lesson plan curriculum is already there. All you got to do is say one chapter ahead of your student. That's it. You got the CDs. We had VHS tapes back then. Pop them in, play them, and come in there, read to them, you know, do this, do that. Just say a chapter ahead. They don't know. So that's how I taught. I said, well, what about my direct and this and that? She said, you're going to do that. So I was the theory instructor, practical floor instructor, the janitor, the toilet bowl cleaner, the director, the admissions rep, front desk. It does not matter how you start. What matters is how you finish. Paul Mitchell started in the trunk of his car with $700. You read the stories of Tyler Perry and all these other people. T.D. Jakes started in a storefront church with 10 members. I remember him telling me, he said, Chin, it was 10 members on an Easter Sunday. He said, a good Sunday, counting the pregnant women. He said, they used to call me One Suit Jakes, Chin, because I had one suit and had holes at the bottom of my shoes. So it does not matter how you start. With God, anything is possible. I started with zero students in the physical, but I had 100 in the spiritual. And every day I go to that school and get on my knees. Thank God for them 100 students in the spiritual, but I had zero in the physical. And that went on for months. See, you got to preach rain in a drought. And then God sent me one student in the physical. I said, God, I thank you for them 100. Now I want the 200. Long story short, I got accredited. Ms. Velma did my accreditation. These schools ain't doing all their paperwork. They pay people to do their work. Ms. Velma did all my paperwork, everything. When them four people came in, like the feds, to check all my documents and stuff, I scored a 100. I got accredited, and it was over then. And I started making over $100,000 a month from the government. The government is paying me all this financial aid money to train these students, and I'm going every month to see my PO, my probation officer, at the federal building. Shorting them this $100,000 every month. So I was doing $1 million over a year while I was still on federal parole. And then students calling everywhere, people getting out of prison. I started opening up halfway houses, and they come to my school. I'm helping them giant jobs and do all that stuff, changing the community. And I ended up getting, God blessed me, with another location because I busted out of the scene out of that small location because we had financial aid. The Pell Grant, the student loans. And I end up having the biggest barber school in the whole entire United States. Over 200 and something physical students every year. Them 200 that I was preaching back in the drought, God blessed it. And so I was doing 200 at $20,000 a student. Most expensive barber school in the United States and had the most students. So now God opened up the windows of heaven and poured me out a blessing so big couldn't receive it. Retired my mama 20-something years ago. I bought her that mansion that I told her I was going to do. I bought my sister a house because my sister could never be a nurse because she was going to be a nurse in college when she was at Tennessee State University. And her senior year, she went to federal prison because of me. She didn't do anything. So God has blessed me beyond measure to have this time freedom, financial freedom, a peace of mind. And I asked him for one thing. I said, God, let my mama live long enough for her to see me get out of prison and make her proud of me. That's all I wanted. God will give you above and beyond, but you have to be faithful over a few things, and he'll make you rule over many. And that lady taught me how to build houses. I've been building houses, subdivisions, all that for 20 years now. So because y'all don't let these people, these small-minded people, these dream killers, do not let them get inside your head and tell you what you can and cannot do. With God, anything is possible. You can start out small. Hell, I've helped over 600-some people through my programs, open schools all over the United States, in every state. I watched my mentor help over 3,000-something people if you can read and follow instructions, we have a blueprint. Same blueprint that some of these corporate schools charge $1 million. Y'all get the same one in our program at a crackhead price. It's crazy. So
how do they get into your program?
Millionaire Barber. That's all they got to do. MillionaireBarber.com, Millionaire Barber on Instagram, Millionaire Barber on Facebook, Millionaire Barber on YouTube. And I got so many testimonials because I know black folks, they don't believe nothing, all these scams and this and that going on. So when they go out there and see all the testimonials and they listen to them people and they call them people, they Google them, those schools and all that, then they ready. So they got two choices. They can die behind the chair or they can open up a school, change their community, have financial freedom, time freedom, but it's work. But once you get accredited, it's somebody that never runs out of money. The government never runs out of money. People in the military, people that have some type of problem, mental, physical, health, or dependency problem, you can get vocational rehabilitation. That's probably 90% of people in the world now. And then you got the GI Bill, the military. And then once you get accredited, guess what? You get the financial aid, the Pell Grant, the sub and unsub student loans. But y'all will let people talk y'all out of a dream. Oh, it's too much paperwork. Oh, well, you going back to prison. You're fooling with that government money. Hell, I'm not going to steal no money, so I'm not going back to prison. Quit listening to these broke, negative family members and friends, or you'll be broke just like them. What if I had listened to them, y'all? I'm a black man, convicted cocaine dealer, conspiracy to distribute cocaine, trafficking, aiding, abetting, gun charges, bad credit, no credit. I didn't have no driver's license. They took my driver's license because I hadn't paid a ticket. So I had all the cards stacked against me.
Yes, you did.
Every card. It does not matter the cards you were dealt. Hell, I grew up in the hood. My biological dad, I don't even know that man. He was Nigerian. My mom married him. They stayed married 10 years. She found out he had another wife back in Nigeria. She divorced him when I was 3 years old. I never saw him again in my life. So we can make all the excuses in the world of why we not here, why we not there. None of y'all had a worse condition than me. If I can do it, you can do it. There are 600 and some other people have done it. I got a lot of multimillionaires in my program, people that have schools, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, all types, all races.
And you even have some people here in Florida, right? You have people all over?
We have over 600 and something leaders, proven cases in every state. We got one in Guam, the only one in Guam, only school in Guam. They went through my program. We got two in Hawaii, one in Alaska, and inside the United States, from Florida to California to New York to New Mexico to Rhode Island, they everywhere, Texas, everywhere. You go to Millionaire Barber on YouTube, you'll see it. You Google it, you'll see it. That's the great thing about social media. Google the person. And it'll pop
Google
up.
Google MillionaireBarber.com.
You just Google MillionaireBarber on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. I'm going to pop up before everybody, before Empire, Paul Mitchell, Aveda. I'm popping up. And I put everything out there. A lot of school owners and schools hate me because I done gave y'all the game. There was a dude at the NECA conference, went up to me and hugged me, said, man, you helped me open my school. I said, what's your name? He told me, and I asked my assistant, he ain't in the program, so I went back to him the next day. I said, man, you ain't in the program, how you open your school? He said, man, I watch your YouTube videos. You know how he did that?
So
Tim,
what about the blueprint? How do they get that? Everything is on your site? How to even... begin everything, the whole
everything
process?
Is on YouTube, but see, it's 600 and something videos on there, so people don't have the time to sift and do all that, so that's why they join our program, because when they get in the back portal, everything is in a systematic order. It has the business plan. My mentor paid two attorneys several thousand dollars to do this business plan, a school business plan. We've had people, Savannah got $250,000 and open her school. She was working at a school in Petal, Mississippi, went through my program, saw me on, social media. Of course, she thought it was a scam. But women don't do their due diligence. You know, y'all are like detectives or whatever. And she did a due diligence, found out the real deal, and joined, and she got the money from the SBA loan from using our business plan. We take you step by step in the portal. Everything is step by step, from the rules and regulations, even your application to submit to the board. In Florida, by the time you submit that application, it's going to be 80 to 100 pages long, because you got to have that business plan in there. You got to have the catalog, the checklist, the enrollment agreement. All of that stuff we've already done. All y'all got to do is download it in y'all's back portal and copy and paste. That's it. The policies, procedures, the orientation forms, pre-enrollment receipts, the graduation surveys, the current student surveys, the addendum, everything is there. It's already done for y'all. All y'all got to do is put y'all's name on it. And we have live trainings every week. And if y'all get stuck, all y'all got to do is contact support. So you can be dumber than a box of rocks like me. If you can just copy, that's all you have to do. Copy and that's
that,
it. If
hey, that's almost if like. I say this sounds almost like when you did your book, copy.
That's it. You did the first book. We got a program where they'll do it for you. They'll eat your fruits and vegetables and do your push-ups for you. We even got a program like that. If you don't feel like typing or doing anything or putting your name on it. So there's no excuse. And we have payment plans. So you can't say you ain't got the money. I removed all barriers, all excuses. The only way y'all won't do it if you don't want to do it. But I'm going to tell y'all something. I've been licensed since 1990, and I used to preach, open up a school, get rich, become a millionaire and all that. I don't preach that now. After looking at all of my friends who've been in this industry for all these years, their bodies is broke down. You only get one car. You only get one body. They don't have rotator cuff changes, hip replacements. They got gout. They got carpal tunnel syndrome. They got varicose veins, a bad back, a bad neck. Working in that shop, it will break you down. It's like they done played in the NFL.
Sure
so now I don't talk about all the money that y'all going to make because y'all already know that. Y'all already been to beauty school. You know you'll get rich when you get accredited and all that type of stuff. Now, these school owners and all these other people, yeah, they're going to try to deter you. Oh, well, you got to do this. Oh, you got to do that. To hell with them. You don't want to end up an old man or old lady broke down having regret in your life, coulda, shoulda, woulda. I don't have the skill set, y'all. I don't know how to do a shampoo, conditioner, a color relaxer. I don't know how to use the razor. I don't even know how to cut straight hair. I went to a black school in the hood, and they didn't teach us how to cut straight hair. I still don't know how to cut straight hair. Well, how did you run a school? Hell, I can read and follow the my ladies. I'm not a dummy. If you can read, you can do anything. Hell, look at all them fat coaches in the NBA. They don't know how to play basketball, do they? But yet they're coaching LeBron and all these other people, aren't they? You can be a coach and not have to know how to dunk, or you don't even have to be able to dunk or whatever to make millions of dollars. So I didn't have experience on teaching. So what, I can read the book to them? I can pop to my ladies in. They've already done the work for you. You don't have to know how to do nothing. With the technology and the experts out here, y'all don't have to know how to do nothing. When I got a credit, I didn't know how to do nothing. Ms. Velma's team did all that. Every week we're doing schools accreditation, their paperwork, putting electronic bookmarks in, doing all. These school owners not doing their paperwork themselves. Don't let them trick y'all. They're not doing it. They did not get accredited themselves. They're 200 to 400-page institutional self-study with electronic bookmarks and all that, the revisions. They did not do that. They hired somebody. Just like y'all women when you had a baby, you hired a gynecologist or a baby doctor or whatever. You didn't do it yourself. You didn't build your house yourself. That toothache, the root canal you needed, you went to the dentist. If you want to open up your school, get a credit, do all that, you come to Chin, Millionaire Barber. You come to an expert. Now,
yeah,
I don't know how to do nothing else.
Tell them again.
But I know that.
On that word, tell them again
years.
Where to go. Where should they go?
Oh, Millionaire
Barber.
Want to
be your MillionaireBarber.com. That's the website?
Follow me on Instagram. That's the website. Or they can follow me on Instagram.
Okay, Chin, oh my God, you got so much information.
Free. And I got a 26-year track record with the school, straight nothing. And I got over 600 proven cases. So they can't poke holes in nothing. Oh, but you know he's so-and-so. Nope, you can't say nothing. Oh, but he had
how many schools
daddy
do you
or mama.
Have?
Nope. I have zero. My goal was to retire at 40 years old and never do nothing again.
Oh, because this was
but
26 years ago. Okay.
I opened a school in 98, and Ms. Velma said, Chin, what's your dream? And I said, well, mm-hmm. I want to retire at 40. She said, okay. Well, but when I got 40, my mm-hmm. schools were my ministry. They were not schools. They were my ministry. I was helping all these people, and I fell in love with the students in the schools. And I went mm-hmm. another 5 years, so I was 45. And then I retired, and I said, I'm going to go full-fledged, and my mission is to help other beauty professionals open their own schools, change their community, change their family's life, get accredited, get the government money, get rich, invest that money in real estate, build houses, do all that, and create generational wealth. We've got over 1 million beauty professionals, but a lot of them let fear. And the thing about it, I still can't teach. Oh, y'all listen to me right now. Y'all know more than me. Y'all more skilled than me. If you take a beauty professional with a number 10 skill set, mm-hmm. like you all, but you give them a level one opportunity, they're going to be broke and tired. If they're working in the shop, working with somebody and doing all that, they have a level 10 skill set with a level one opportunity, making somebody else rich or whatever. Now, you mm-hmm. take somebody like me. I have a level one skill set. Yeah, I can't cut no hair. I can't do none of that stuff that y'all can do. I can't teach you do none of that. I got a level one skill set. I know that. So y'all ain't got to tell me, well, he ain't got no haircuts on his page. And no, I know that because I can't do that. But if you take someone with a level one skill set, but that uh-huh. level one skill set person does a level 10 by opening a school, you get rich. You live a lifestyle of financial freedom and time freedom. You see how I took the level I have a level one skill set, but I took the level 10 opportunity?
Yes.
I don't know if y'all understand it. It's all about what we got the same amount of time. If y'all spend 8 hours a day working at a shop and I spend 8 hours a day working at a school, running my little small raggedy school or whatever in the hood, you done turned the shop into a school, you're still doing the same thing, 8 hours. But the only difference is the outcome. 2 or 3 years from that, you will be accredited, getting government funding. When the other person in the shop, they still going to be working in the shop. 10 years from now, you still got the school making all this money. The person in the shop still slave behind the chair. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, they still behind the chair in the shop. You done lived a life of financial freedom and time freedom because you chose the opportunity to open the C.J. Walker, the first black female millionaire. She did it in mm-hmm. 1908. 115 years ago, she opened up a school and she had a product line. Alonzo Herndon opened up that shop. I'm telling you all, the school is the lick. Think about it.
So
I mean,
think
I could go
believe it, achieve
school.
It? Yeah, you can.
Of course I can do it. The technology y'all got now, and we have the blueprint. All you got to do is copy. And we got payment plans. So there's no excuse.
There's no excuse.
The fear of slaving behind the chair and working for somebody, they got that greater than the fear of opening a school. Fear of me working behind the chair slaving, that's what I feared the most. If you open up a school today and you fail, what are y'all going to do? You're going to go right back to the shop and work, aren't you?
Yeah.
So that's telling you you're already at the bottom, like my mentor told me, and you have nothing to lose. If you're a crackhead and you get out of rehab and you can't get no job, what you going to do? You're going to go work in the shop. If you're an ex-convict like me, you get out of prison, no one will hire you. Where you going to work? In the shop. If you're going to open up a school and pursue your dreams or whatever and you just happen to fail and don't follow the stuff that Ms. Velma has, so what? You're just going to end up right where you're at right now. You can't get no worse than where you're at right now. So you need to do it.
At least try.
I mean, think about it.
At least try.
You ain't got nothing to lose. You'd be right back to where you're at. You have nothing to lose. People say, well, what if the school don't work? Hell, well, what if it do?
But that's that negative energy. That's that negative energy, Jen.
that's why we have to tap into God, the higher power. See, people say they tap in, but they're not really tapped in. When you really tap in with God, the higher power, the negative energy ain't going to get nowhere. So I guess some of y'all need to quit playing church or start reading your Bible deeper or start listening to whoever you're listening to, T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen or Jamal Brown, whoever. Y'all got to get closer to God, because when y'all tap into him and you really believe in him, you're not, there ain't going to be no fear. That's not going to play a part. So the biggest part is y'all's mindset and y'all being connected to God and being a believer. You're not a believer, because if you were, you don't even expect to be rich. You don't expect to open these schools, because expectation shows up in behavior. Your behavior is telling us you want to be a slave behind a chair. Your behavior is telling us you don't want it. Based on your behavior, listeners, the Bible says judge a tree by the fruit that it bears, not by what it says. I don't care what y'all saying. I'm going to judge you by what you're doing. That's what the Bible says.
Oh, my God. And you know how I just heard that same statement? Oh, my God.
And I don't know who I'm talking to on this.
You talking to me.
God has a word for you all.
You talking to me, Jen? I just heard that statement. Oh, God. So
you don't know what y'all going to do after this.
So much. No, we're going to do better. We're going to do better after this.
Of course y'all can do it. You can do it. Y'all can do it.
We're going to do better.
If I did it,
we're going to do much better. If you can do it, we can do it. So, Chen.
That's right. 600 other people have done it.
Yeah. I want to thank you so much for all this information. It's like you taught me so much. I mean, and I'm sure the listeners are they're appreciative of what you of all the information that you've given for free. Just like you said, we have to think it and we have to believe it, and we have to tap into God, just like you said. So, with that, I just want to thank you for being on the show. And again, people, if you want to open up your own school, Chen gave you all the all his media handles. You know, Millionaire Barber, MillionaireBarber.com, Google him, Millionaire Barber. Everything is just going to pop up. Everything about him and everything he does. So, again, Chen, I want to really thank you for the show and, you know, for all the information that you've even given to me. I appreciate it.
All right. I thank you for having me. You have a blessed day.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. He's making a way. Oh, okay, God. Oh, okay, God. Every day. Yeah. Oh, okay, God. I can't take no pain. He's the one who did it. Oh, okay, God.